Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Kelly, I am so excited for our show today and our guest. And, we have more kind of challenging, difficult conversations. And we want so much diversity in our show. And we want there to be, you know, some shows where it's really practical and it's like, here's something that you can just take away, whether it's breathing or Reiki or energy healing, something like that. But we also want to really have our show be a place where people can tell their story and, find a place where there's a connection that can be made, because life has its ups and downs. We all, have challenging days and rough patches. And it's really those people who are able to go through and come out the other side and really become leaders that can be inspiring and can really give the many the opportunity to find a place to be connected and find their people, so to speak, and find hope. And that's what I'm really excited about today. So our guest is Amanda Blackwood. She is an author, she's an artist, she's a speaker and a survivor. And her website, growthfromdarkness.com, is where you can find her. Kelly, is there anything you want to share, before we introduce Amanda?
You know what? I love that. She's magical. I've shared a little time and space with her, and I actually have her book here too. Amanda, I brought the book. To have such a bright light, to have gone through some of these human experiences that she's been through, and to wake up and say today's going to be a great day. And I just, I'm so glad to welcome you and create a safe space on our show to have you here, because it's really important, and you have courageously stepped out into the light to share about the darkness. And I think a lot of people try to stay in their little bubble and da-da-da, this isn't happening, and this doesn't happen in the world, and everything's just fine, and some stuff's really happening. And you are a survivor, but you also are a catalyst for change and awareness. And I just want to let you know that you're not alone. And I think this show is going to be extremely powerful for a lot of people. And we're going to touch on some experiences and topics and have a discussion that might make people feel a little uncomfortable. But that's what we are going to do, it in a curious and a safe space. And I want to say that out loud, so when we start really diving in, people understand that we're doing this very heart-centered and very, again, in this, I just keep seeing safe space, safe space, safe space. And we need you. We need you here. And there's a reason why you're here and with our show today. So Amanda, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you, Kelly and Brian, both for welcoming me. I'm excited to be here with you guys. What I do is, it's important to me, but I know there's a few other people out there it's important to also.
Oh, just a few.
That's for sure. So Amanda, why don't you just take a moment, introduce yourself. We definitely want to dive into your story, but really, it's important for people to get to know who you are today, but there's this entire adventure in your life that brought you to today. And so
Introduce yourself today, but also maybe share a story about a moment in time that, you know, happened before where you can recognize today, okay, that was something happened in that moment that was meant to happen that way because it really helped me be the person I am today. And then we'll see where our conversation goes.
You got this, lady. I'm already feeling it. So let's go.
So these days I live in Denver, Colorado with my husband and our rescue cats. As of last week, I just became a grandmother to a brand new little baby girl named Sapphire. She's in Arkansas with my son and his wife. I have this absolutely beautiful, wonderful, magical life now. And looking back on my past, I can fully recognize that there is a huge part of me that for a long time didn't believe that something like this was possible. Mm-hmm. In 2019, just kind of touching a little bit on the body of my existence before, I found out that the man who had trafficked me made me famous on a pornography website. He had put up a bunch of different photos and videos of me. He also included social media information for people to be able to follow me and find me and start stalking me online. And he included personal information like a social security number, telephone numbers that were old phone numbers, old addresses, and that kind of stuff. It became a really dangerous situation for me. But that was the moment that I needed. Something inside of me snapped, and I decided, I'm tired of hiding. He's going to find me anyway. I'm tired of pretending this didn't happen. It's always going to exist. And it's time that if people are going to be finding me, they need to understand why. And that was the moment that I decided to stand up and start talking about my story and to finally write my book.
Absolutely. So we've touched on that we are going to be talking about human trafficking today, and I just want to let our audience know. And Amanda, human trafficking statistics will blow people's minds. Do you have any off the top of your head that you could share with the audience? Because I think people just don't, they do the la, 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 this isn't happening, right? That's just what I see. Like, we're all just doing that. But share some wisdom, because I think data is powerful, and I think you have some numbers and some information to share that our audience needs to hear.
While it is difficult to have an exact number of how many people are in human trafficking, there are literally thousands right here in the United States alone. They are everywhere. And you never know who somebody is that you might be sitting next to in a restaurant, or who might be standing behind you in line waiting to get your Starbucks. This could be somebody that's being trafficked. This could be somebody who has been trafficked. Many times I've had people say, I've never talked to anybody who's a survivor of human trafficking before. And the first thing I always tell them is that you know of.
Yeah.
Less than 2% of all victims survive. The average lifespan of somebody who's in the world of trafficking is only about 7 years. So can you imagine being, you know, 18 years old, knowing that you've been in trafficking for about, you know, 6 years already, and knowing that your life is probably coming to an end soon? Most are beaten to death. They are, they die of a drug overdose. They're murdered. They commit suicide. They take some really drastic means to be able to get out of trafficking. And a lot of them age out and they're seen as old hat. But while so many people associate human trafficking with children and people under the age of 18 only make up about 1/4 of all victims of trafficking. So there's another huge number where a lot of victims of trafficking don't realize that what they're going through has been specifically called human trafficking, because it doesn't look like how the media has portrayed it. Now, it's a really harsh reality waking up one day and going to an anti-trafficking conference in February of 2018 and sitting down and listening to people talk about what human trafficking actually looks like and how it's completely different from what it's portrayed as, and realizing in that moment, oh my gosh, that's what I went through. I'm a survivor of trafficking. There are several different forms of trafficking. It's not just sex trafficking, but that seems to be the hot button that we talk about here because it seems to be the most controversial. There's also organ trafficking. We don't get a lot of that here in the U.S., but it is still it does still exist.
Tell me more about that.
People are taken and tricked into situations where they are then drugged. You know, a lot of times this is in a hotel room where they're then opened up and things like kidneys or livers or whatever organs are, you know, on the high market at that point right. are taken out of them. And while if it's a kidney, if you've got another kidney, you can live. This is still a brutal and terrible and traumatic thing to go through. But there's many organs like the liver that you can't live without. Once that's gone, your life is gone.
Right.
So there's people that are literally losing their lives to trafficking. There's also child soldiers. We hear about this a lot over in Africa. That's
tell us more about this too. And I might be doing this a lot today, but I want to hear your words.
You're good. Child soldiers are young kids that are conscripted into pseudo-military service, usually strong-armed into it, stolen away from their families, and trained to use weapons, guns, knives, whatever. They're then forced by these cartels or guerrilla gangs to go and do the bidding of whichever political leader it is at the moment. A lot of these kids don't make it out alive. This is another instance where the lifespan is extremely shortened.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what other types of, just because we're opening it up, what other types of trafficking should our audience know about?
The most popular form of trafficking in the world is labor trafficking.
Tell me more about that.
This is a massive problem everywhere. It's not just here in the U.S. It's not just in Mexico. And while there are some overlaps between human smuggling and human trafficking, it's important to understand the difference. Bringing people across the borders or transporting a person from one place to another is considered human smuggling. And while that can turn into trafficking through labor and exploitation, it's a completely separate issue. Both of them need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
But labor trafficking, they can put people to work out in the fields. Back in the 1800s, it was referred to as slavery. So human trafficking is where they would put people out in the cotton fields or in the corn fields to do the manual labor that the people who could afford to pay for the labor didn't want to have to do.
Yeah.
Somebody's making money and it's not the person doing the work.
No.
So the Department of Homeland Security specifically defines human trafficking as the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain labor or sex acts from another person. When you break it down and really start to analyze what each of those words mean, you can hear that money isn't mentioned in there.
I know. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So while there is a lot of overlap with prostitution also, there's a very small percentage of people who are in the sex work industry who are there by choice. They did not force themselves into this world. They're not frauded into it. They're not coerced into it by anybody but themselves. Mm-hmm. If there's any kind of trafficking going on, they're doing it to themselves. This is their choice. But it's such a small percentage.
I was about to say that's got to be I'm honoring everybody, but I would assume that's a smaller percentage of the right. people involved.
They estimate it's somewhere between 5 and 7% of all prostitution is by choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these numbers are massive. Another number that I wasn't aware of for a long time is that more than 85% of all pornography is created using victims of human trafficking. They're forced into it, as I was. They're frauded into it by being offered large sums of money and not being paid. They're coerced into it a lot of times with promises of freedom. Mm. Of being able to get away or making the abuse stop. And I experienced a lot of that too. If you do this one more time, you won't have to do it again. I can't tell you how many times I heard that one.
Oh my goodness. Right? So we're honoring you and we're creating that safe space we talked about at the top of the hour. Mr. Brian's having, oh, there he is. I was about to say Mr. Brian was having some internet. We get the craziest little energetic things that happen on our show. We should have a show just on that because it always happens at a key point that we're sharing space with our guest. You guys, we're wrapping up segment one. We're here with Amanda Blackwood. Her website is growthfromdarkness.com. This is the Being Curious show. We opened it up and you can just imagine where we're going to go today. We're honored you're here and thank you so much. We'll be back.
Life is full of crossroads and navigating them can be daunting, but fear not. Join us on Navigating Life's Crossroads, Pathways to Freedom with Leslie Wegleitner, your guide through the journey of self-discovery. In a world filled with inner conflict, external pressures, and the constant tug between your choices and others' expectations, Leslie will help you face your fears head-on. Discover how to choose your path authentically without compromising your true self. Our show explores the profound question, how can you find inner peace, align with your deepest desires, and make decisions that honor your unique journey? Leslie's wisdom and expertise will inspire you to embrace your own path and empower you to move forward with confidence and clarity. Don't let life's crossroads overwhelm you. Tune in to Navigating Life's Crossroads, Pathways to Freedom, and embark on a transformative journey towards self-discovery and true freedom. It's time to find peace within and make choices that resonate with your heart and soul. Join us and let's explore your path to a life you truly deserve at LeslieWegleitner.com.
Join us at the Souls of Spirit Spiritual and Holistic Expos as a part of your spiritual awakening journey. Get ready for a day of enlightenment and exploration at one of our upcoming expos. Our events are where all things spiritual and holistic come to life. Experience a diverse range of vendors offering healing jewelry, natural products, and metaphysical merchandise. Immerse yourself in the mystical arts guided by mediums, psychics, and Reiki practitioners. Interact with energy healers and health professionals ready to provide rejuvenating services. Be one of the first 25 attendees and receive a fantastic gift bag full of treasures from participating vendors. Bring your loved ones along. These family-friendly events have something special for everyone. The $5 entry fee includes educational speakers and up to 40 vendor booths. Mediumship group gallery is just $25. Free expo admission for those under 12 or showing military ID. Find out more about upcoming events in North, South Dakota, and Montana at soulsofspiritexpos.com.
Are you ready to dive into a world of exploration, enlightenment, and higher consciousness? The Edge Magazine media platform is your ultimate one-stop shop for all things curious. They're a vibrant community of seekers and teachers passionate about sharing their gifts and abilities to help the collective explore, develop, and understand their journey towards higher consciousness. EdgeMagazine.net receives over 13,000 viewers each month, boasting unique articles, enlightening forecasts, and insightful book reviews. Over 16,000 copies of the Edge Magazine are printed every other month and distributed to over 600 locations across the Midwest. Experience a world of opportunities with Edge Magazine. Unleash exposure through enticing print and online ads, Edge Partner Directory membership, and community calendar listings. Share your expertise in radio and multimedia interviews, connecting with their diverse community. Join their vibrant events, connect with like-minded individuals, and share your gifts here, there, and everywhere. That's edgemagazine.net.
Discover Strains of the Earth, your go-to destination for all things holistic. This family-owned dispensary in Jordan and Carver offers a curated collection of high-quality CBD products, such as topicals, tinctures, and more. Our knowledgeable staff members can guide you with expert recommendations and responsible usage tips. Explore the selections at strainsoftheearth.com and enjoy convenient delivery right to your home. Strains of the Earth, saving the world with CBD. Hey everybody, we are back. That's really jazzy music, Patrick, for today's show. He's laughing.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was just like, wow. Because okay, we do have cool. Some intro music that's kind of calming and But we're just gonna zest it up and
we're finding the light in the darkness as always, right, Kelly?
Absolutely. So we are just in segment one talking with Amanda, and we're really unpacking the experience and educating. And I think today is going to be really powerful about how you're going to educate. I also told Amanda that I might say, "Tell me more about some different topics." So, Amanda, tell us about your experience when you were, I think, 17?
18.
Thank you. 18, about your, tell us your story about being trafficked when you were 18.
So to back that up just a little bit further, well, a lot bit further.
Please do.
Most survivors of human trafficking experience something that's very common among all of us, and that's early childhood abuse. So I was molested at 4, again at 12, again at 13, again at 15, again at 16, raped at 17. So with all of this in my background, I had grown up being treated as a sex object my entire life. I had problems with human connections. I did not have a close relationship with my father, which forced me out mentally to seek relationships with other men. Mm-hmm. When I was 18, my boyfriend at the time was a man who was more than twice my age. Again, I was looking for this father figure.
Right.
I was convinced I was in love with the guy. I did not know when I met him that he had ties to organized crime. For his best friend's birthday, he loaned me out as a party favor. He told me the way it was framed was that I was going to get an all expenses paid trip for the weekend to Las Vegas because this guy just wanted to have me to hang out with him because I made him laugh. My mind immediately went to the roller coaster that's at the top of New York, New York. I had gone on that roller coaster once when I was 17. I was a teenage runaway. I loved that roller coaster and couldn't wait to get back on it. And when we got to Las Vegas, that was anything but that possibility. They immediately took me to what was then the Hard Rock Cafe Hotel. They rushed me up to the room, and I was told that I was to remain in that room. If I left the room, I did not have a key to the room and couldn't get back in. My name wasn't on the registration, so I wouldn't have been able to go up to the front desk to ask for another key to get in. I was allowed to order room service once a day. But the people at room service had very specific instructions, and I think some palms were greased in this process, to make sure that when they brought it up, they dropped it off outside of the room and left completely before I was allowed to go out and go retrieve the food so that I would have something to eat. For 52 hours, I was locked up in this hotel room with nobody asking any questions, nobody wanting to know any details. Everybody, I'm sure, was under the mindset of, it's not my problem. And the things that happened to me in that hotel room were beyond description. They were horrific. I was still a relatively innocent kid, even though I had already been through so much at that point. There were things that I had never experienced that I was forced to go through. And I knew that if I left and just wandered out onto the streets of Las Vegas, I was going to end up in a much worse situation than what I was already in. I didn't want to go that route. So I had to put up with what was being done to me for 52 hours to be able to get back to where I was living at the time and to get my things and move on. But going through that 52 hours at that point in time was the hardest and most difficult thing that I'd ever had to go through.
How do you detach in that? Because I see you going through it. How do you go 52 hours? How do you mentally get through that?
It was not easy. Yeah. I just kept on telling myself, basically, I've been through worse, even though I hadn't.
Right.
I've been through worse. I've been through stuff like this before. I've got this. I can do this. Just keep going. Just deal with it.
And your boyfriend, we're going to put air quotes around that, he was not there during this time.
Nope. He stayed in Arizona when his buddy and I went to Las Vegas.
And just new people would just come into the room and X would happen and then they would leave. I mean, how does that look?
It was all his buddy.
Okay. Okay.
For the sake of the show, let's call him Carlo.
Yeah.
Carlo would repeatedly rape and assault me. I was told by my boyfriend at the time that I needed to be accommodating. And I didn't understand really what that meant until Carlo explained it to me while trying to force me into sex acts.
Okay. So the 52 hours are done. And is it basically just, and I'm sorry of my ignorance, and I'm not trying to be ignorant. I'm really trying to hold this curious space. Did he just say shower and clean up and go home? How do you mentally walk out of that room and then just tell me more?
Walking out of that room, I was actually excited.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I bet.
There was this level of excitement in me. I couldn't wait to go get on that airplane. And it was a terrible flyer at the time. I was absolutely terrified of airplanes. I was a white knuckle flyer. After everything that I went through, and we'll go through more of that later on, I eventually became a flight attendant. So obviously there's been some huge mind shift right. When it comes to all of this.
Absolutely.
I started to recognize that the planes were actually my saving salvation.
Absolutely. Now, did he fly with you, or did he basically just give you your plane ticket and say, get out of here?
Oh, no, he was with me the whole time. He held on to my ID.
Got it. And then he handed you off to your boyfriend when he picked you up at the airport?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
I was urged to keep whatever we did to myself. My boyfriend didn't want the details.
Got it. So what do you get home? I think we're going to do some air quotes here today. You get home, and then is he just acting like everything's quote normal?
Yes, absolutely. We went back to life being exactly what it had always been. I worked at a gas station at the time, and he had a job that I wasn't overly familiar with, selling medical equipment when he had his time available to him to do so, but made the most of his money by selling heavy narcotics.
Got it. Well, oh my goodness. Brian, I need a moment to just take this in, because I can dial in with the different situations. And it's interesting. I loved the Hard Rock Hotel, the concept of it. But anytime I'd stay there or gone there, I always felt this sadness to it. And I absolutely get that you're not alone in any way, shape, or form with your experience there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think at the time it was actually a known trafficking location. It was easier to grease the palms there. It was not on Main Strip. It wasn't heavily investigated.
First stop right off the tram, last stop right before the airport. I mean, it's just an in and out. Yep. I mean, I'm not just trying to be light with that, but it's right. You can see kind of the markers in the map, and you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that this is it's a very important conversation. It's obviously a difficult one. My silver lining is that someone hears this that needs to hear it, or someone shares it with someone that maybe needs to hear it more. And it wakes people up to not turning a blind eye. You know, I think that people get stuck in their own survival mode, and, you know, there's this quote or statistic that I'm not going to say is 100% true, but I remember hearing it at some point, that in a rape prevention class, they actually teach women to yell fire instead of rape. And maybe Amanda, you can back that up, but I remember hearing that, and it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that was true. But I you know, sitting here having this conversation, it's very hard for me to be here hearing, to be in the conversation. But I don't want to turn a blind eye and I don't want to not listen. I'm very, very present to this conversation. And I really hope that other people are as well, and that it is in its essence an invitation for people to be more aware and be more conscious. And not to say that the invitation is like overwhelm your world that this stuff is happening. You know, I don't think that's at all appropriate. It's not like we don't want to live in this space of like all these negative things, because then that's what we'll attract. But it's more being the type of person that is conscious and aware and walking your path so that you have the ability to reach a hand out, to have a question if something doesn't look right, like working in a hotel and knowing that there's a young girl in a room and there's these instructions and maybe there's someone out there that could say something at some point. So,
or a flight attendant, or I mean, there's so many, or a gas station, or it's being mindful. And when your gut's screaming at you to act.
Right. And I do remember on the way out there, there was a flight attendant that had some questions about who we were and what our relationship to one another was. And he explained it as he was my uncle. And that should have been a key indicator to her that there was something wrong. But there wasn't enough education at the time for people to really get that.
Absolutely.
And I think we do live in a different, I know we live in a different time now where there, because of the internet and because of social media and just this access to so much information that just wasn't available before, people are more alert, you know, and I could see that playing out today where someone says that and someone's like, hey, something just doesn't smell right. And before you know it, you know, there's five people asking questions. It's not just one person. And it's not to say that we still don't exist in a world where not enough people are asking questions all the time. But I think your experience and what you're bringing out to the world was meant to happen right now. And it's an even bigger opportunity for more people to have a consciousness around this. And so thank you for your courage. I mean, it's astounding. Yeah. It's astounding to witness in person, and I'm sure for those listening. So
what organizations should people be working with? So if we have, what's, do you telephone numbers or websites that if someone is listening to this and they can casually reach out, which ones do you recommend that people reach out to?
One of my most favorites is called Alight. Alight pairs victims of human trafficking with legal services. Mm-hmm. They were the people who paired me with a law firm in New York City, and that law firm was able to reach out to the different pornography websites and start getting that stuff pulled down immediately. No matter which organization that you decide to pair with, make sure you do your research and make sure those people are actually doing the hard work. And there are organizations out there that will take survivors' stories and exploit them for their own financial gains. So watch out for those too and avoid those at all costs.
Do you have any of those names that you could say on the show, or is that something that we shouldn't divulge? I just want to honor the space.
I would say avoid the most famous and most popular one here in the United States, known as Operation Underground Railroad.
Okay. How do you spell the website of the light one that you just discussed? I just want to make sure I'm spelling it right for everybody.
I believe it's A-L-I-G-H-T, but if you put in a light with that spelling and then put human trafficking after it, it should come up pretty quickly on a Google search.
That's fantastic. Okay, you guys. We are wrapping up segment two. I mean, oh my goodness. We're here with Amanda Blackwood. She is an author. She is an artist. She is a speaker. She is a survivor. She's an amazing soul on the planet right now. We have her book right here, Custom Justice, that we're going to dive in a little deeper into the next segment. Amanda, I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Growthfromdarkness.com or detailedpieces.com are her two websites. On behalf of Kelly and Brian, Brian and Kelly, The Being Curious Show, this is wrapping up segment two. We'll be back here with Amanda, and thank you.
Life is full of crossroads, and navigating them can be daunting. But fear not. Join us on Navigating Life's Crossroads, Pathways to Freedom with Leslie Wegleitner, your guide through the journey of self-discovery. In a world filled with inner conflict, external pressures, and the constant tug between your choices and others' expectations, Leslie will help you face your fears head-on. Discover how to choose your path authentically without compromising your true self. Our show explores the profound question, how can you find inner peace, align with your deepest desires, and make decisions that honor your unique journey? Leslie's wisdom and expertise will inspire you to embrace your own path and empower you to move forward with confidence and clarity. Don't let life's crossroads overwhelm you. Tune in to Navigating Life's Crossroads, Pathways to Freedom, and embark on a transformative journey towards self-discovery and true freedom. It's time to find peace within and make choices that resonate with your heart and soul. Join us and let's explore your path to a life you truly deserve at LeslieWegleitner.com.
Join us at the Souls of Spirit Spiritual and Holistic Expos as a part of your spiritual awakening journey. Get ready for a day of enlightenment and exploration at one of our upcoming expos. Our events are where all things spiritual and holistic come to life. Experience a diverse range of vendors offering healing jewelry, natural products, and metaphysical merchandise. Immerse yourself in the mystical arts guided by mediums, psychics, and Reiki practitioners. Interact with energy healers and health professionals ready to provide rejuvenating services. Be one of the first 25 attendees and receive a fantastic gift bag full of treasures from participating vendors. Bring your loved ones along. These family-friendly events have something special for everyone. The $5 entry fee includes educational speakers and up to 40 vendor booths. Mediumship Group Gallery is just $25. Free expo admission for those under 12 or showing military ID. Find out more about upcoming events in North, South Dakota, and Montana at soulsofspiritexpos.com.
Are you ready to dive into a world of exploration, enlightenment, and higher consciousness? The Edge Magazine media platform is your ultimate one-stop shop for all things curious. They're a vibrant community of seekers and teachers passionate about sharing their gifts and abilities to help the collective explore, develop, and understand their journey towards higher consciousness. EdgeMagazine.net receives over 13,000 viewers each month, boasting unique articles, enlightening forecasts, and insightful book reviews. Over 16,000 copies of the Edge Magazine are printed every other month and distributed to over 600 locations across the Midwest. Experience a world of opportunities with Edge Magazine. Unleash exposure through enticing print and online ads, Edge Partner Directory membership, and community calendar listings. Share your expertise in radio and multimedia interviews, connecting with their diverse community. Join their vibrant events, connect with like-minded individuals, and share your gifts here, there, and everywhere. That's edgemagazine.net.
Discover Strains of the Earth, your go-to destination for all things holistic. This family-owned dispensary in Jordan and Carver offers a curated collection of high-quality CBD products, such as topicals, tinctures, and more. Our knowledgeable staff members can guide you with expert recommendations and responsible usage tips. Explore the selections at strainsoftheearth.com and enjoy convenient delivery right to your home. Strains of the Earth, saving the world with CBD. Everybody, we're back. The Being Curious Show. Today we have Amanda Blackwood with us, and she is an author and artist, a speaker, and a survivor. And again, a soul on the planet right now that we are blessed that is here. So we started with when we were 18 and the Hard Rock Hotel experience. And then when you were 31, you had a Scotland experience. And really what we want to do, everybody, is we're going to touch on this experience and we're going to give Amanda a couple moments to talk about it, honor it, but then we're going to really focus on the yumminess of after and what's now and the magic she's creating. So Amanda, bring us back to Scotland.
So when I managed to get away from Arizona and I floated around the country for a while, for a little bit, I ended up out in California. And while I was there, I decided to try this brand new world of online dating.
Ooh, lucky girl.
I met somebody through online dating that I just absolutely was head over heels for. It was a really great guy. He was a police officer, very smart, charismatic, witty, just all around charming. He was good looking also, which, you know, that's just a bonus.
It always helps.
But he was just this great guy. But we already knew that because he was all the way overseas and I was here in the U.S., that this was only ever going to be a friendship. Well, eventually, after 7 years, he had come to visit me. I had gone to visit him. We decided we were in love. So he asked me to get a fiance visa to go out to Scotland to marry him and be with him forever. And I thought, what a wonderful idea this is. I'm probably never going to find anybody as great as this guy. And he's a police officer, so I'm going to be safe. And I'm going to be living in the land of castles and dreams and kings and queens. And what a wonderful life this is going to be. I'm finally finding my fairy tale ending. And it took him 7 years to get me there. And within 7 days, that man was trafficking me. He knew my history. He knew how to exploit that. He knew all of my weaknesses.
And he was a police officer.
And he was a police officer. You know, if I went out and tried to find help, who was I going to talk to? You know, they were just going to take me to the police and they were going to not believe a word I was saying because he's a police officer. They're going to protect their own. He was a very, very vile and evil human, especially when he drank. So it took me a long time to try to come up with different escape strategies. The first one I used, he had taken my driver's license and my passport and my credit and debit card and all that stuff as soon as I got there. He said it was for safekeeping. I should have learned my lesson by then. I was 31 years old, but I had not. He took all this stuff and he put it in a small lockbox. And one night while we were, putting it delicately, entertaining guests, he had a lot to drink. By the time they left, he was plastered. I conned him into giving me back my identification documents and my debit card. And I told him that the reason that I needed this stuff was so that I could go to the bank and withdraw all of my money and give it to him so that he could put it in his bank account and we could actually spend it. When in reality, what I did was then use my computer the very next day to purchase the most affordable emergency flight out of Scotland to get back to California. I bought a ticket for a little bit over $2,000, but that was the only one that I could afford at the time, and it didn't leave for another 5 days. And because of the abuse, I ended up with a kidney infection so bad that I was taken to the hospital. I was basically unconscious the day that my plane took off, and it was a non-refundable flight out. So I lost the money, I lost the flight, and I was stuck there. I had already done so much research into psychology at this point, because I'd wanted to know why these things had continued to happen and what makes people tick. Why do people do these things? One of the things that I'd learned about was something that was then called Stockholm Syndrome. It has since been renamed as trauma bonding. And I tried to convince him, as a police officer, he would have also been aware of these things. I tried to convince him that I had Stockholm Syndrome, and if he kept me there beyond my visa expiration date, he could lose his job as a police officer. But if he sent me home, I could come back in time for Christmas and it would be our first Christmas together. And wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? And so he sent me home. He bought a round trip flight. And the day I left was the day that I stopped being terrified of planes. And I tell people all the time that when I was in Scotland, I was so homesick for American soil and for Americans in general, that I watched every episode of Air Crash Investigations and Law and Order because I needed to hear that American accent. So getting on that plane, after seeing every episode ever made of Air Crash Investigations, I should have been terrified. But instead, I saw this as my saving grace. This was my salvation. This was my way out. I was more terrified of staying than I was of flying away and leaving.
Yeah.
So it was about a year and a half later, I became a flight attendant. I tell people all the time that I became the butterfly. I came from this horrible, ugly place. I went through basically what was considered a death in that 152 days in Scotland, being raped repeatedly. And when I left there, I became someone else entirely. Mm-hmm. And I got my wings. Where I am now is I'm a trauma recovery mentor. I focus on helping other people to let go of the trauma that they've been carrying around with them for so long. I'm not a counselor or therapist, so people don't have to feel obligated to tell me their stories. I help them with their basic trauma reactions and understanding where they are in the steps of trauma and how to fight back against all of that stuff to be able to have a better life. I do public speaking all across the country. I've got an event coming up June 24th out in Carlsbad, California. I'm going to be speaking for Shamrock Way, which is an organization started by former MMA star Frank Shamrock, who's a very good friend of mine. He himself had a traumatic background, and he's all about wanting to help empower and support people. So the event is called From Battered to Brave, and it's about empowering women to fight back against abuse. I also have a cookbook coming out that I'm super
excited
about.
Okay, why are you doing a cookbook? I have to say, I mean, it's amazing, but like, you got to give me information on the cookbook.
Well, the title helps with that a little bit.
Okay.
It's called Surviving in the Kitchen. Ooh. Recipes for Life, Love, and a Full Stomach.
Aww.
Part of my coping was trying to learn new things and to fill up my days with experiences that were going to make me feel more centralized to who I am. I've always had a passion for food. My mother was a terrible cook, so I learned how to cook out of self-defense. But I took that to another level when I got back from Scotland. I started cooking for friends and families. When I was in flight attendant training, I would cook for large groups of study buddies that would all come over and study in our hotel room. I loved to entertain. I love to cook for people. This is one of my...
it's your love language.
It is. It's one of my love languages. This is what I do for people that I care about. And I learned my survival and my coping mechanisms in the kitchen. I learned how to not just measure flour, but to measure my trauma. I learned how to focus on something outside of feeling trauma reactions and started understanding why I was reacting certain ways to certain things. Because like a lot of people do when they paint, the brain quiets. I have something to focus on. I'm right. Calm. I'm peaceful. I'm relaxed. And I know that whatever the results are in the end, I'm going to be nourished by this.
Absolutely.
And so therefore I'm nourished throughout the entire process.
Okay. So you cook, and I can tell that you've done a lot of work here, there, and everywhere on finding your new normal. What else and what other advice could you give people on, I mean, trauma is trauma, right?
And Kelly, I'm wondering, you know, as you were talking through that, Amanda, I'm thinking what are, you know, I think successful people in life have a really good toolkit, you know, and they know it, they wear it, they're adding to it, they're removing from it. And so what could you offer in the toolkit of, you know, yes, a person, but probably, you know, more specifically women, like what are those signs, those red flags? Like what would be those things as someone is navigating through life where you go, in general, be on the lookout for these things and be aware? Like, do you have anything like that that, you know, you can kind of offer?
There are so many warning signs. One of the biggest things that I tell people is to figure out where your boundaries are and stick to them. Mm-hmm. You have to have healthy boundaries. This is in the forefront. I do have a book coming out next year that's about healthy boundaries, how to create them, how to navigate through them, and to understand that healthy boundaries aren't just telling other people what they are not allowed to do in your life, but to understand what it is that you're not going to allow yourself to do anymore. Now, it's so important. Healthy boundaries aren't just for trauma survivors either.
Oh, it's for everybody.
Yes. It's for every single person who is still breathing on this planet. It's so urgent. But one of the biggest red flags is a sense of manipulation. If somebody says or does something that feels like they're trying to manipulate you into something, they need to be told this is not okay. Depending on their reaction, that may be the end of that friendship, that relationship. It has to have that healthy boundary to it. You have to understand that if somebody is trying to manipulate you and they're successful, they're not going to stop there.
No, they'll just keep doing it.
Yeah. That's absolutely abuse.
That is, I think, the purest, mm-hmm. most kind of direct tool. And I absolutely love that. I think it's helpful for everyone. I'm sure it is. And it kind of brings up, okay, so that's kind of the front end. And then, you know, on the back end after trauma, you know, people experience it in all kinds of ways. Some people have panic attacks, some people shut down, some people drink, some people eat, you know, there's a million things people do. What are some of the things that you've discovered for yourself? Like when you feel you get triggered and then, you know yourself well enough to know that the worst of you would go to a place, but you've developed your own skill set to not go there. Could you talk through kind of how you work through that? Because I think it'd be, abundantly helpful.
Absolutely. One of the key things for me was education. I knew that there were such things as trauma reactions, but in my own research, I have compiled a list of more than 60 different trauma reactions, and a lot of them are all tied together with other trauma reactions. But in this, I've also learned that there's long-term consequences to not confronting these trauma reactions, and that there's always healthy coping mechanisms to be able to deal with them. I actually have a podcast called Growth from Darkness that's based on this concept, where my co-host and I talk about what the trauma reactions are, the long-term consequences of not dealing with them, how to fight back against them. And we talk about our own personal experiences with each of these, because as trauma survivors, we've pretty much all experienced these in some ways. If there's one in particular that she has not experienced, I have, and vice versa. But I've also discovered the grounding techniques, the five senses grounding techniques. So what are five things that you can see? What are four things that you can feel? What are three things that you can hear? Two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste. If you go through this, it can actually help you to exit an anxiety or panic attack and help you to refocus your thoughts and to understand what I'm going through right now is traumatic. This is terrible, and I need to change this. But it will put you back in a mindset where you're physically capable of being able to make a change.
So what
that's so good.
That is. I'm sorry, I'm like, woo. What is one thing you wish you could tell someone going through what you went through?
You are so much stronger than you think you are. And understand that the old aphorism of what doesn't kill us makes us stronger could not be more false. Mm. You are already strong. You just have to find the strength within yourself to get through it. And not knowing that there's options available to you is the exact same thing as not having those options. If you don't know they exist, how are you going to use them? So look it up, find help. If you're needing somebody to be able to get you out of a bad situation, there are organizations in every single state across the United States. If they're the good ones that will actually do the work, they can help you. They have exit strategists. I've done some of the work myself. You can reach out to me. You can find a therapist or a counselor. And there is, here in the U.S., there's a brand new service that recently came out called 988. So instead of calling 911, if you don't feel safe calling the police, you can dial 988 from your cell phone or a landline. And you can receive emergency services that include a therapist or counselor and somebody with lived experience. They can come out to you. They can talk to you over the phone. These people are incredible, and they're, for the most part, they're doing this as an unpaid service just to be able to help you. This is a great service. Use it if you need it.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, you guys. Amanda Blackwood, We're seeing the light, and I just want to thank you. The book is going to be available. Her cookbook is going to be available, but the link won't be available till it's published, so we'll definitely have our audience check back. But if people mention this show, they can receive a mentorship guidance through trauma recovery for 50% off your normal cost through emailing Amanda at growthfromdarkness@gmail.com. On behalf of Brian, this is Kelly and the Being Curious Show, Amanda Blackwood. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And we really appreciate you.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Have an amazing one. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.